The energy crisis stemming from the continued closure of the Strait of Hormuz is a really great lesson of what would happen if the climate cultists were in charge. Because according to the climate cultists, they think all energy is bad unless it comes from wind or solar or hydro. In other words, any kind of hydrocarbon-based energy, in their view, is bad. And they went all out to try to shut down internal combustion engine vehicles. In many states, like California, they had initially stated they were banning all combustion engine vehicles from being sold in the state by the year 2035. Now, I think they've since backed off of that. But there were many states following California and saying, yeah, we have to ban all internal combustion vehicles from being sold. We can't have any kind of gasoline or diesel vehicles whatsoever. Everything has to be all electric. But then they shut down the coal plants and the pipelines that would have fed that electric power grid. You notice today in California, they have virtually no oil refineries. So they have to import all the refined fuels that they need to drive their economy and transportation for, you know, highway trucks, etc. And so California decided, well, we're just going to shut down our entire domestic energy infrastructure and we'll just rely on importing it from somewhere else. Well, what happens when that somewhere else gets blocked? Or there's a war? Or there's an energy shortage and prices double or triple or wherever they could go? And see, that's the issue here. So the climate cultists, they themselves, they still consume energy because they want to live in air-conditioned homes. They want the conveniences of food delivered to their door. They want to be able to use computers that rely on the power grid, which relies on energy. But they don't want any energy sources to be able to function. And thus, they're delusional. They have contradictory goals in their minds. Goal number one, shut down all energy. Goal number two, still use energy. And those two things cannot coexist. Cannot. Now, sure, you can have a certain amount of wind and solar, but of course, the wind doesn't always blow and the sun doesn't always shine, not even in California. And so those power sources alone can't solve the problem. And when it comes to nuclear power, also the climate cultists, for some reason, they're anti-nuclear, even though nuclear energy is completely free of carbon emissions. But they don't want that either. And the more you look at what the climate cultists are actually pushing, or you could call them climate alarmists, it's really the destruction of humankind. And that's exactly where things are going now because of the Strait of Hormuz. I mean, we're on the path of global famine, of global industrial shutdown, of force majeure being declared by industries all over the world. We are on the path of, frankly, a partial extermination of the human population on this planet, which is something that the climate alarmists, many of them, have repeatedly called for. Remember, Paul Ehrlich, back in the 1960s and 70s, in his book, The Population Bomb, warned that the population would become so large that it would destroy the planet. I mean, I'm simplifying his book, but he's the one who pushed for putting infertility chemicals in the water supply and in the food supply. And he was listened to by presidents, and remember the chief science advisor for President Richard Nixon, who said that the number one priority of every nation in the world should be controlling populations, which means reducing them, by the way. And so the entire climate change agenda, which came out of the global warming agenda, was, in fact, just a cover story to push depopulation, because it never made any scientific sense or economic sense. In fact, it's shocking today to hear people who call themselves economists still believing in the lies of global warming or climate change. I guess they don't have enough scientific knowledge to understand photosynthesis and why photosynthesis needs carbon dioxide. Otherwise, you can't feed the world. You know, without photosynthesis, you don't have crops. You also don't have rainforests, etc. And then you have the scientists who don't understand the economics. So the scientists will say, well, you know, carbon dioxide, it's been rising a little bit for the last 75 years. It's 410 parts per billion, or parts per million now. And that's nothing compared to what it used to be. Previously on planet Earth, there was a time when it was over 10,000 parts per million, by the way. So, and the Earth was more green. It was more lush because a warmer climate results in more rainfall. And you had almost no deserts at that time. You had lush foliage and you know, ferns. And in some eras, of course, you know, many tens of millions of years ago, you had dinosaurs all over areas which are modern day deserts, like parts of Utah, for example. So with higher levels of CO2, you actually have a greener planet by far. But the scientists don't understand that for some reason, and the economists don't. It doesn't compute with them either. So that's why they fell for the climate change scam. It has always been a scam, and it has always been a cover story for depopulation. But since the climate agenda did not actually work, it did not achieve its goal of convincing everybody to commit energy suicide, then they had to try other things. When I say they, I mean the global elite who run the planet and who are trying to exterminate billions of humans. They had to try some different things. They tried COVID. COVID was a staged pandemic with a weaponized injection that was designed to kill a large number of people. And frankly, it kind of failed. I mean, it did kill tens of millions of people, which the globalists would consider to be a partial success. But it didn't kill the billions that they had hoped for. And society didn't collapse, although they were trying hard. They were trying with the lockdowns and the shutdowns. So here we go, fast forward a few years later, now in 2026, they're shutting off the world's fertilizer, natural gas, and oil exports out of the Persian Gulf, which account for anywhere from about 20% to up to 30% of certain things. Well, I guess with helium, it's even higher than that. But for natural gas, it's maybe 25% of the world's supply. And for oil, it's about 20%. So this is their latest effort to strangle the world and starve the world. And we have yet to see how this is going to play out. Because the longer it goes on, the more people die from starvation. You know, famine in 2027 is coming. But this is clearly the next wave that is being attempted for depopulation. And it kind of simulates what would happen if the climate cultists were in charge. And by the way, we're going to be watching that in great detail here coming soon, because there is going to be fuel rationing. That's right, fuel rationing. Just like during COVID, there was rationing of certain types of products on the shelves. Now there's going to be fuel rationing, which means you won't get fuel except a certain amount per week or certain days per week that you can buy it. You know, they might only let license plates ending with a certain number to buy fuel at gas stations on certain days of the week, for example. And that's going to force people to use a lot less fuel. And again, this is all by design. And this is going to result in economic collapse for many nations. It will result in small businesses going bankrupt across the world. It will result in a global economic depression and a collapsing GDP all over the world. And then it will lead to, of course, famine and mass starvation, more so in certain countries, especially some countries in Africa, the Middle East, and Southeast Asia, whereas in the Western countries like the United States, Canada, and the UK, it will be more of an economic collapse that will lead to poverty and homelessness, etc. But this will show you what it's like to live under climate authoritarianism, because the climate lunatics would do the exact same thing, except they would cut it off domestically instead of blocking it at the Strait of Hormuz. They would block it domestically. They would halt oil imports, or they would halt oil exploration domestically. And then they would have the energy lockdowns, and they would have the rationing. You're only allowed, you know, 5 gallons a week of gas or diesel, and that's it. Whatever that is, that's what you have to live on. That's what the climate lunatics want, is authoritarian control over your energy consumption. And then they will tell you things like, oh, you're only allowed 100 kilowatt hours, you know, per month of electricity consumption at your home. And that includes your electric car. Right. So then now you have to decide between, do I want air conditioning or do I want to be able to drive a car? And that's by design. They want to control you. They want to limit your consumption of energy, all forms. And they want to be able to monitor it and remotely turn it off. So if you're using too much heat in the winter, they can disable your heater. Or too much air conditioning in the summer, they can disable that. And they already have those kind of smart thermostats that can do that for some customers who sign up for cost savings programs with certain power companies. One of the caveats with that is that they can turn off your power, you know, during peak usage, typically. But that can extend way beyond peak usage. And this is one of the reasons why they love people having EVs while relying entirely on the power grid, because then they can monitor your vehicle charging in real time through the smart meter. They know when you're charging your car because that's a high draw event. They know the typical duration. They can count how many kilowatt hours that you've pumped into your car. So then they can estimate your driving range. And if they want to limit you, you know, because of the social credit scoring system or using the new digital currency wallet, they can just limit the amount of electricity that you're allowed to consume. They can limit your use of air conditioning or your use of computers or refrigerators or whatever they want to do through the smart meters. So the only way to be free from this is to have your own off-grid solar system or off-grid wind system or other kind of power generation system. If you're fortunate enough to live downhill from a running spring, you could have water generated power, you know, falling water. Or if you live in a windy area, you could have wind turbines. The thing is, you have to connect all of these things to a, you know, inverter, charge controller, and batteries. And battery storage is still very, very expensive right now when you're talking about going completely off grid. I know because I've been researching this, monitoring it, looking into it, etc. And I know some people say, well, you should do concentrated solar power, you know, parabolic mirrors, etc. Yeah, I've looked into that too. I've looked into every possible technology. None of them are cheap. None of them really work that well. Not even, you know, sand batteries or what have you, heat batteries, gravity batteries, you know, spinning mass batteries. Every kind of energy storage system that you can think of that is conventional is crazy expensive for a typical homeowner. So the powers that be know that most people aren't going to do that. You know, solar is the most accessible. And even then, you're going to spend easily $50,000 to go fully off grid on solar because of the battery storage that you need. And, you know, the control system, the inverters, etc., the installation. The panels themselves aren't that bad, and they last, you know, 20 plus years. It's the batteries that are the issue. And although lithium-ion batteries have made a lot of progress over the last 10, 15 years, they're still bulky, heavy. They have a very narrow operating range. You can't run them too hot. Like, you can't stick them in an outdoor building like a shed or a barn and run them there because they'll combust. And when they catch on fire, it's a very big fire. Very big. You're not going to be able to put out that fire, nor is the fire department, etc. So the powers that be know that the average consumer has no real access to an alternative to the power grid. And since they're going to keep shutting down fossil fuels, natural gas, oil, diesel, gasoline, kerosene, they're going to shut down more air travel. They're going to shut down more fertilizer production. Many fertilizer plants have closed down in the last year. And then on top of this, they're also firebombing refineries all over the world. I even produced an infographic on that very point that shows you the shocking level of sabotage of oil refineries. Now, over 5.5 million barrels per day of oil is offline just because of sabotage of oil refineries in this year, 2026. So what does that tell you? They're choking off the world, which was the whole point of climate change. They just flipped the script. Now it's Trump pushing the same script as climate change under Obama or Biden. except now they just call it a war. But they found a whole new way to strangle the world, to cut off fossil fuels, and to make you dependent on a government system that will provide you only a limited amount of kilowatt hours or fuel or food, you know, coming up as the shortages get far worse. That's where this is going. Rationing and lockdowns. And solar might be your only way out right now, but again, the batteries for storage are quite expensive, and they're very heavy too. Some of those batteries weigh 130 pounds each, not something that everybody can just lift and carry around. So even installing them takes some professional crews. You know, it's not easy. I wish it were easier, but flat out, it's just not at the moment. So I will keep you posted on this. You can go small scale right now with solar generators, as they're called. And, you know, our sponsor, the Satellite Phone Store, they sell solar generators, SAT123.com, if you want to check those out. And I own a number of solar generators, and they're great, but they're not going to run your whole house. They can run smaller appliances, or they can charge your phone, your laptop. They can run blenders or even small refrigerators. They're not going to run your air conditioning all day for your house, that's for sure, or a heater in the winter. And they might be hard-pressed to run, you know, your well pump for your well, because that's probably a 230-volt well pump or something. Anyway, it's not going to just run by plugging it into a standard 110 outlet. So, yeah, solar generators are great, and you can buy solar panels, and you can charge that up, and you can have, you know, flashlights and mobile phones and fans and things like that. And, yeah, that can be life-saving, but it's not going to run your whole house or your ranch or your business or your, you know, factory or anything like that. For that, you're going to need a massive infrastructure of energy collection and energy storage, and that is not cost efficient at the moment. It's not even close. We have to wait for more technology. The iron air batteries might be the most promising chemistry for large-scale energy storage. Iron air that stores energy in iron and then releases it through essentially the process of rust, which is the oxidation of iron. And then that is reversed in order to restore energy back into the iron. And it's a, you know, it's straight up chemistry, but it's a massive system. Like, you'd have to have a big 20-foot container, you know, 7 feet tall and 8 feet wide and 20 feet long, just to run a typical home off of that. And you'd have to, of course, charge it with sufficient amount of solar or generator power anyway. So most people aren't going to stack a 20-foot shipping container outside their home with a giant iron air battery in it that costs $400,000 or whatever they cost now. So keep all that in mind. Now, I will do my best to bring you the best solutions that I can. We all need to become more energy independent. You know, because the climate change agenda is going to come back as soon as there's a Democrat in the White House. And then when a Republican is in the White House, it's going to be war. Now, as I said before, this is funny. I said, when Democrats are in charge, everything is fake and gay. When Republicans are in charge, everything is real and terrifying. And in neither case should you depend on the grid if you can find an off-grid solution. So I'll do my best to bring you updates about the battery technology in particular, and hopefully we'll have something that is just better suited for off-grid needs. And if so, I'll tell you all about it. So thanks for listening. You can follow more of my podcast at brightvideos.com and my articles and infographics at naturalnews.com. Take care.
Astaxanthin is one of the most powerful antioxidants in nature. Boost your intake of potent antioxidants with lab-verified astaxanthin supplements at the Health Ranger Store. Only at healthrangerstore.com.